still playing with that thing? Kenny, it's been 2 weeks and you've done nothing else. Who cares if you almost made it to level 60? You're wasting your life, Kenny. If you died tomorrow, what would you have to show for it? You're going to end up wishing you'd done more with your life, just like your deadbeat father.
Hey, I heard that, bitch.
I wasn't talking to you, asshole.
How about I come in there and kick your teeth in?
I'd like to see you try.
God damn it, I'm smart enough to be in my own house.
It's my house too, you no good loser.
You have reached level 60.
Whoa, wait a minute, wait, we've got a little public service announcement ahead of time here. While we were recording this week's show, we ran into a little problem, and about an hour and 20 minutes in, Audacity decided to crash on us. I was able to recover the audio of the show, put it together, it should sound okay up until the very end, where we get abruptly cut off. The good news is it was right at about the end. It was basically the end of our content. We had only maybe 5 to 7 minutes left to fill anyway, which now is going to be filled with music rather than me just droning on and on and on. So, with that, I've got you prepared for the future, and let's join our regularly scheduled program, Already in Progress.
Once we're in the games, we should be dies playing.
Playing bass cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game! No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to win the games until it dies in flames.
I can't play these video games.
Okay, this is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 84. I'm C4.
And I'm Kovar.
And this is Ribo.
We got Ribo on the phone again. Thank you very much. So you can tell us about how awesome the PSP is.
I will.
Yes.
We got an awful lot of flack for only talking about the DS, so now we have someone that's actually had some hands-on experience with it, and we can talk about it a little bit.
And it sounds good, because you've been saying nothing but, you know, fantastic things about it for, you know, a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, you know, it's a portable PlayStation 2. It really is. It lived up to the hype as far as the graphics are concerned. Now, some other things, you know, leave a little bit to be desired. But, you know, we'll get to that.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I actually finally got my hands on one, which is what finally got me excited enough to, you know, alright, we gotta do a show talking about the PSP. I didn't want to, like, sound like I was dissing it before. I just didn't know anything about it and hadn't had a chance to touch it even, you know. But, last week we read an email with, Jack Thompson. Remember that? Of course, Ribo here doesn't listen to the show anymore. He makes baby Jesus cry every day.
I heard that though. So,
the letter was, I don't know what it is about this topic, but it gets people really, really heated because it's complete crap, you know, and it gets people all excited and fired up about the topic of people, you know, going after video games because they're saying it's, you know, they're unmoral and they're teaching kids how to kill and what do they call them? Murder simulators?
Yeah.
What kind of crap is that? Well, I happened to come across a pretty interesting story here, which actually was sent to me by Zombified and maybe Zombie posted it on the forum, and Mocker sent me an email. That's how I got this story. About Hillary Clinton. Everybody knows who that is, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
They're speculating that she's going to run for presidency in 2008. And as her first order of business here, from what I've seen, she's basically trying to take down video games. Now, I cannot think of anything closer to pure spawn of Satan. Could you imagine Hillary Clinton as the President of the United States with Lieberman as the Vice President?
Yeah.
You know?
That's a match made in hell.
You know?
And her war is going to be video games. Huh?
You know, yeah. Right now, she's proposing to spend $90 million to investigate the effects of violent video games. $90 million is what we're looking at to basically prove that video games are bad.
Nice little quotation marks in the air there.
Air quotes, yeah. Yeah, and I've got a couple of interesting quotes here. There was actually, this story was all over the place because there was some pretty neat quotes in here. She says that they're a major threat to morality. Children are playing games that encourage them to have sex with prostitutes and murder them. This is a silent epidemic of media desensitization that teaches kids it's okay to diss people because they're a woman, they're a different color, or from a different place. So now they're blaming racism on video games.
Right.
You know, we've gone from just violence to racism and sexism.
Racism is a new thing developed since Pong.
Exactly. We didn't have this before. You know, we had slave owners that were sitting there playing, you know, Super Mario Brothers 1 all day.
Right.
You know, and then they decided, I mean, come on.
But black people look a lot like Goombas?
You know, yeah, really. What the hell? How can they sit here and say that? I don't understand. It makes my head hurt.
If anything, racism has gotten a lot better.
That's right, because we can all just get along now. We can hide behind our computer monitors here and talk to the microphone, and we can all play our nice, happy multiplayer games. I don't know. That's really a thorn in my side, and I thought it was worth mentioning because you want to know where your tax dollars go. This is it. Mm-hmm. It's going to prove that video games are evil.
Well, so here's the thing. Now, I mean, as far as a waste of tax money, that's very true.
So I'm just going to stop paying
my taxes. That's only the saddest part. Sorry?
I said, I'm just going to stop paying my taxes.
It was only that easy.
Yes.
No, but here's the thing. I mean, nothing's going to really come out of this because they can't really regulate video games because if they start doing that, then they have to start tampering with the First Amendment.
Yeah, it's
You buy video games. You don't get video games free through, like, TV or radio or whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
If they start doing that, and they can regulate cable, and they can regulate HBO, like, none of that's going to happen. That's never going to happen. So the only thing that come out of this is they're going to blame a bunch of people. People are going to get sued. They'll make a better rating system. You know, you'll have 50,000 different type of ratings, like, E for everyone, and E7 for 7 and above.
Yeah.
E9 for 9 and above, and all that kind of crap, and that's all that's going to really happen.
It'll be government regulated, too.
Yeah, I mean, it'll just be regulated, that's it. But, I mean, they can't censor it. That's the thing.
I don't know, there's plenty of stuff that's been happening in this country recently that I thought could never happen. I mean, look at the Patriot Act.
That's a good point.
Now all of a sudden, the cops don't need any warrant to search me.
No, it's because we're safe now, though. We'll give up our freedoms to be safe. Let's give up our expression of art and stuff to be safe, to protect the youth.
Well, yeah, we'll give up our video games so there's no more Columbine. Yeah, right, there's not going to be any more shootings in schools.
Then they'll blame it on something else.
And then hopefully video games will come back and get a little leniency thrown down.
So I'm not so sure about that. I think that they've been doing a lot of stuff in the name of safety and security, and they're ripping away our rights.
They really are.
And it's terrible.
Can you see they're going to have, like, court cases? In the case, Judge, I'd like to cite, the case from 10 years ago, Mario versus Luigi. It'll be the Mario Act, It'll be terrible. Anyway, I don't know. I thought it was worth mentioning because it's a bunch of crap, and unfortunately we have to keep up on this. And I hate talking about that. It's like, I don't know. You know, certain radio shows, you listen to them, and you like listening to them for them talking about whatever it is they're supposed to talk about, but something so big happens that all of a sudden it changes what the show they're talking about. Like, maybe something that talks about computers gets way into politics or something, and you kind of lose interest in it, because computers have come under fire a lot. So now that's a pretty hot topic. Well, this is a pretty hot topic for us, And unfortunately, it's not all fun and games here. It's about money, and now you bring it out in the real world with the corporations and whatnot, like our good friends at EA.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk about some of the April Fool's jokes. Did you see any of these things just floating around the internet, Ribo?
Yeah, I saw something about, what was that? They had one on the Alakazam side about how they were going to merge Final Fantasy XI and WoW together or something like that.
Yeah.
All three of them.
It was, EverQuest, World of Warcraft, and Final Fantasy. But the best part is, any chance you made your way over to the forums this week?
No.
Wolf believed it.
And posted a link.
Yeah, he posted it on the forum and was just like, oh my god! How awesome was that? And I guess the best part was, it was April 2nd over there in China.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, that was his defense, was just like, it was shit, man, it was April 2nd. But see, that would actually have worked pretty well for me. Like, I was thinking about that, going, you know what? They could do what I've been saying this whole time. They just take the quest and the story from Final Fantasy and the combat, they put it in the EverQuest universe, and we take World of Warcraft and make it the newbie levels. It would be perfect!
It actually would, that'd be pretty good.
And then you can play with all your friends, because I have friends that play Final Fantasy, I have friends that play World of Warcraft, and that would be a nice, happy little world. It would be fantastic. There are some pretty crazy ones up there. The one I wanted to mention that specifically had to do with EA, which is how we wound up on this topic, was everybody knows Overclocked Remix, right? OCRemix.org. Okay? They do, as everybody knows by, you know, now, this is where we get, you know, most of the music for the end of the show, because it's, you know, these people that just like to, you know, they're really good at what they do, and they, you know, whip up a nice little remix over the course of time, post it on the site, and, you know, some of the stuff is really, really amazing. Well, they posted, and I didn't get to see it, but they posted something about them signing a contract with Electronic Arts. Now, the thing of it was I didn't get to see it myself, so I didn't get to read the whole thing. I just heard that they had a thing up there that said they were signing some kind of contract and they could go into some kind of a partnership with EA. And now this is where I get a little foggy on what exactly happened. The story goes is EA's lawyers told them to take it down.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. So now whether or not, though, they made that part up, which I don't know. It sounds like something EA would do. Or whether that really happened, I don't know. But they, because it's not there on the front page, and it was gone when I went looking for it, as if it never happened. Yet, I was hearing that they claimed that EA's lawyers, or, I mean, like I said, it could be just an extension of the joke. Mm-hmm. But I was unable to see it myself and find it. I was kind of hoping to find somebody that might have mirrored it or something, but I couldn't see, I didn't find it.
Well, there's definitely, that is definitely something EA would do, but it's like, why? It's just an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, but, you know, they're big bad EA, they've got to, you know, look out. So, whatever. I'm sure, I hope it brought a lot of good positive media attention, though, to OC Remix, because that place is pretty awesome. But there were some dumb ones, too, though. Like, I guess Epic put out a thing saying they were working on Unreal 3, and it was going to be called Slug Saga, The Adventures of Niban. And it was that big-ass slug dude that you killed at the end of Unreal 2, right? You get to run around with him, and like, you have to, you know, people are throwing salt on you and whatnot.
What?
And it just sounded so stupid. But they had, like, a whole long, drawn-out, like, you know, this is our next game, get ready, it's going to kick ass, you know, like a whole press release about it. You know, some of them were scary, though, man. There was one for, where's the email? There was one for PlayStation 2 for Final Fantasy XI. And they said that they were going to, because of the limitations of the PlayStation 2, that starting May 1st, you were no longer going to be able to play Final Fantasy XI if you, on the PS2, but you could still play on the PC. That freaked a lot of people out. That was a pretty good one. I think, you know, GameSpot had a rap, had like a bunch of these posted. World of Warcraft, Blizzard posted a thing making fun of EverQuest.
Right.
They had a, you know, Panda Express, I'm pretty sure that they're not all over the world, but I know they're all over the country.
Here, yeah, we have one over here.
In the U.S., yeah, right? They, it's like a, almost like a fast food Chinese place.
Yeah,
they're in, like, a lot of malls and stuff, yeah. Anyway, now, you know, EverQuest 2 has that, you type in /pizza and it pops up like a web browser and you can go order pizza from Pizza Hut or whatever without having to really, you know, move, which I think is pretty cool, but I've never used it myself. Anyway, Blizzard was saying that in World of Warcraft now, you're going to be able to type in /panda, and you get the Pandaren, or Pan, however the hell they call it, whatever that word is, Pandaren Express, which was, remember their panda people from Warcraft 3? Did you ever play that?
No, I don't play Warcraft 3.
Oh, okay. Well,
what?
Yeah.
I know.
You're going to give us, oh, man. All right, I'm remembering that. In fact, I'm going to write that down.
All right, so I haven't played all these hella old games before I was a gamer. Fine and dandy. You didn't play Warcraft 3.
Yeah, but come on, you haven't played Zelda. I mean, those are like staples, dude. That's like prerequisites right there.
Yeah, I'm with Rymo on this one. You need to play that shit.
Oh, dear.
However, Warcraft 3 is an amazing game still, I believe, to this day. But anyway, they even had screenshots showing, like, a little order thing. And it you could seriously, like, click it, and it would tally up how much it would cost and shit. It was pretty funny. Apple had something about a G-Pod, supposedly a handheld gaming system, comparable to the PSP. They said it was going to come out in 2006, worked flawlessly with iTunes, you could download music and movies and games to it, a 2-gig hard drive, 32-meg dedicated video, 512 megs of RAM with it, and a 300-megahertz G4 processor inside. You know, I mean, and it was funny, too, because the picture, the mock-up that they had for it looked up, you know, they had it sitting next to a PSP.
It looked like something Apple would make.
It really did.
Like a square, clear, white.
Yeah.
It looked like an iPod on its side, a lot like a PSP.
Yeah, it did. It was great. somebody went so far as to say that Sega was launching a new console. There was some dumb crap about Shrek 2 characters and a remake of a Soul Calibur 2 game for the GameCube. That was pretty stupid. But I guess, you know what, this story taught me something, I think, was, I don't know if anybody else has heard this, Soul Calibur 3 is supposed to be released on the PS2 only?
Really?
As opposed to all three like it just was? Has anybody else heard that, or am I pulling this out of that story, which was probably a joke anyway?
I haven't heard about that. That's something it's up.
This is why I hate April Fools, man. I can't find any news that was real. Gabe Newell, everybody's favorite guy from Valve, right? He was supposed to... There's a post on, I think it's Half-Life.net or something like that, that's he's leaving game design to go sing in a folk rock band. That was pretty good.
Now, probably be better for him anyway.
Another listener got busted, though. Wolf got busted, and he got trapped in the April Fool's Day things with his merger of the three games, which was just completely ridiculous, but it would have been actually a nice, happy thought. But there was another good one that got Fujikoma, and he posted this on the forums, too. It was, okay, you know Steam, right? Steam was like the auto-launcher, the thing that runs when you're playing like Half-Life and the new Counter-Strikes and all that crap. You know, this is like the little interface kind of for it, and it controls all of Valve's games. You get all your patches through that, and you can pay for games and everything. It's called Steam. Well, there was when you logged on to Steam yesterday, or 2 days ago, and it gives you like a little message, you know, it like pops up and tells you things. Let's see, the message here, I had to read it because this is so great. The message is Friday, April 1st, 2005. An update is available for Counter-Strike Source. The update will be applied automatically when your Steam client is restarted. The update addresses requests for more realism in Counter-Strike Source. The changes are as follows. Doubled player speed when jumping. Everybody loves the bunny hopping, right? The effect is cumulative, so the more you jump, the faster you go. Cut the price of the AWP by 50%. And everybody, I'm sure you've heard about how much everybody hates it when somebody gets that gun. Added Akimbo Riot Shield to the buy menu, right? Two of the Riot Shields. Removed Dust from the map cycle. Right, that's like the most popular map, DE Dust. Realism enhancements. Knives. Between the rounds, it suggested that you unsheath your weapon and repeatedly press the attack key to air it out, as the leather now collects moisture and creates pits on the blade, making it less effective in the next round. Shotguns. Firing the shotgun without ammo loaded will cause it to jam. When the shotgun jams, press F2 to fill out form DA1823-00A12H8. You should then hear a scribbling sound. When it stops, press F3 to send the request to LIDM. Failure to do paperwork before pressing F3 will result in the immediate return of the unrepaired shotgun. The repairs can take 1 to 2 rounds for completion. During that time, you cannot purchase a replacement firearm and may only use your sidearm or knife. This is so great. Player models. Several models now feature eyewear. This is completely cosmetic enhancement with the following exceptions. Part EP7829-2922 must be purchased and worn correctly at all times in order to see during the round. To clean the eyewear, you need to purchase and use the designated cleaner. There's like 5 different things here of these part numbers, respectively, depending on your model's eyewear. You can determine the part number of the correct cleaner by asking someone. Machine and submachine guns. At least once every 5 rounds, press F1 to inspect the weapon. A musical cue indicates the inspection has started. Now press F1 again repeatedly to clean and lubricate the weapon. Your preventative maintenance status, either cleaning or lubricating, is determined by the speed at which you press the F1 key and will be displayed above your head. To accurately simulate real-life maintenance mistakes, pressing F1 too quickly will lubricate either the bolt face or the trunnion block. Pressing F1 too slowly sprays lubricant directly into the buffer tube. All mistakes render the gun inoperable, although this may not become immediately apparent. Experiment with key press timings to avoid and discover other common maintenance errors. In order to balance the improved stopping power of a well-maintained weapon, the reloading process has been made much less reliable. When reloading, you should listen for 2 or 3 distinct clicks over a period of several seconds. If you hear 1 click or no clicks, or more than 2 clicks, you've bent the link ejector chute and the gun will most likely explode in the next attempt to fire it, although it may not. That was the end of it, but I thought that was really, really funny and pretty well done too, because that was kind of like forcing an April Fool's joke on everybody. You know, I mean, when it popped up when you loaded your game,
yeah.
You know, everybody had to see that, and I'm sure everybody read it and was just like, "Oh my god!"
Well, at first I thought it was real.
Oh, when you started reading it,
yeah. I was like, "What the hell are they doing?"
I thought that's pretty good. And you know what's funny too is like, I don't know if what's going on with EverQuest or whatever, EverQuest 2, but when I logged in this morning, my character went from having jet black hair to white hair. I'm trying to figure out if this was Sony's idea of a joke, because we're like 2 days past April Fool's Day now. So this isn't funny now.
Not to mention you're the only one I know that it's happened to.
Right, right. How come I now have stark white hair? It doesn't look so good. Now, on to the PSP, I think, yeah, that was what I had here written down, was a bunch of PSP stuff, because this thing, I'll tell you what, is pretty impressive. I listened to Ribo talk about it, you know, occasionally on the IRC, he would mention it, and I'm just like, yeah, I didn't even know you bought one at first. And then
I kind of got it for free.
Yeah, you told me you had to sell your soul, though.
Yeah, basically. No, I had, like, a bunch of old DVDs and, you know, DVD box sets and whatnot that I traded in for it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not so bad, then. Yeah. That's a good way to go, because I don't know anybody with $249.99 plus tax laying around to drop on one of these things.
Which I didn't have, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know what? I got an awful lot of movies I need to eBay here anyway, and video games I'll either never play or that suck anyway. Maybe I could find me some cash for this kind of thing. And, you know, the reason I finally got my hands on one that wasn't mounted down somewhere and all destroyed already was because, you know, I was at work, and I saw the customer service dude carrying a pile of these things around the corner. He had 7 of them with him, all returned on Friday for screen problems.
Yeah, that's a big problem that's happening. They have dead pixels on a lot of these.
Yeah, we have.
And what's going on is, here's a little insider information, Sony is not taking them back if they have, like, 1 or 2 dead pixels on them. They have to have no less than 13 dead pixels on them.
13?
That's a lot.
One is a lot.
That's bullshit.
13 on a screen that size is like half the damn thing.
Yeah, no, yeah, well, actually, you know what? That's a 4.3-inch screen.
Well, I know.
It's
but
big.
Still, for that size, 13 pixels
right.
is a
That's
lot.
That's all you're going to be looking at, yeah. That's complete bullshit. I would return it to the store, too. Now, I don't know. Okay, well, and that must just be here in America, because I actually, this is some pretty good shit here. There was a Japanese, like, business magazine or some crap that had some numbers on the PSP. There was 800,000 PSPs sold in Japan, right?
Mm-hmm.
6%, approximately 6% of them were sent back to Sony due to defects. That's a lot.
Bad. Yeah,
that's a lot of PSPs that didn't work right out the gate.
Mm.
Now, they had a problem with the square button over there, too. I'm sure everybody remembers seeing that online where you could press the button and it was just totally unresponsive.
Yeah, you had to, like, push it at an angle.
At an
angle,
right. And the reason for that was because that button's really close to the screen, and you can't have the button right underneath it, I guess. So they had it off to the side. So you had to kind of push it at an angle, and some just flat didn't work at all.
Mm.
So, I don't know. And this is not a problem on the U.S. version.
No, I mean, I don't mind them having problems.
Okay.
I don't have any dead pixels. I don't have any square button problems. I don't have that problem that where the cartridges were ejecting or something like that.
Yeah, they were able to launch the... this was Kobar's April Fool's Day joke that we should have done. Now, tell this story. This is awesome.
Well, let's say we should have told everybody that we found an article that Sony was now marketing the disc jet as an extra game feature where you can play tag.
The disc jet. There was dead pixels, and the analog stick, the little analog nub, I guess, wasn't working too well also. Now, the ones that I saw here in the U.S., of course, that were returned were all for pixel problems, except for a few of them had what I can only describe as dust on the inside of them.
That's a problem. Some of them have it where the LCD looks a little washed out, so there's, like, blotches underneath the screen.
Right. This one had flecks of shit in it. Like, almost as if, you know, like when you cut a cardboard box open and you get the little particles of cardboard? It was almost like there was a few pieces of that inside the screen on that, like underneath the shield, like in the monitor.
Huh.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know how else it is. I mean, like, other than that, though, the thing looked fine. I also saw one where the latch mechanism, and I'm curious about this, if they changed this from the Japanese release, was broken on his. The guy came in, and I at the time I hadn't seen one, so I thought it was how it was supposed to work until I saw, you know, ones that actually worked, where he had to close the lid and hold it closed, and then he slid the little thing over to latch the door in. Apparently, it just closes and snaps in. But this guy his would not latch. He had to hold it closed and slide the latch back over.
Huh. You know what this sounds like? It sounds like Sony, in general, went real cheap on the shipping costs. And then a lot of them just got damaged in shipping, because you jostle those around and pixels can die.
I don't know what the hell happened here. They had a big problem, it seems like. And I don't know, I'd like to find some numbers on the U.S. version here, you know. But speaking of numbers, does anybody remember what Sony was claiming the battery life of this thing would be?
Well, they said it was like, what, 13, 15 hours?
Right, right up there with a, with a, with
what?
A, yeah, right? Yeah. It was supposed to be right up there with a SP, a Game Boy Advance SP, right?
They called it 15 hours.
Right. Now they're claiming 2 to 6 hours depending on use.
Yeah.
This is with the battery pack that comes with this thing.
You can get 4 if you keep the light off, keep the sound low, but use headphones for the sound.
Yeah, it's not lasting as long as they said, so.
Well, here's the thing, like, because, yeah, on the PSP, you can actually adjust, like, for the volume, and you can also adjust how bright the screen is. Now, if you keep it on the lowest brightness, you get more battery life, obviously.
Obviously, right.
Right, so, but, I mean, I've squeezed out playing Metal Gear Acid probably about, without charging it, I'd say, like, maybe 5 hours with the lowest light setting.
That's cool.
Volume like halfway.
All right. Now, in that lowest light setting, does it remind you of a Game Boy Advance?
No. It's still much better than that front light crap on the SP.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Even the lowest light setting is 10 times better than that front light bullshit.
Really? Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. The screen they have on this thing is absolutely amazing. The screen. Yeah. I could not believe how good this thing looks. I mean, it is clear, it's crisp, it's big, it's large. You know, when you're holding that thing that close, it's impressive.
It's a lot larger than I thought it was going to be, actually. It works nice for, you know, what it is.
It really does. It really does. I was highly impressed. And you know what, one of the best things about this thing was when I finally got my hands on it, and I was able to hold it and start pressing the buttons, you know what, it felt incredibly good. Like, right. I hate to say it because, you know, like, okay, I never liked the way that the Game Boy Advance felt. It always made my hands cramp up, but I liked the horizontal felt better to me than the vertical pop open one, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But having my hands closer on the vertical on the SP version didn't make them cramp up as much, but it didn't feel as good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't winning either way. The DS, it felt better because it was larger, I could get a better grip on it. It didn't seem like it was going to make my hands cramp up, but I didn't like the way the shoulder buttons felt too much on it, right? And I tell you what, though, when I held onto the DS, the absolute first thing I checked was the shoulder buttons, and they feel good.
PSP.
The PSP, I'm sorry, yeah, they feel really, really good. They feel perfect. I mean, and the buttons are, like, right there, and it has, and I didn't know this before, a little analog stick type.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it has, like, but it's like a little nub, and you just kind of slide it around, but that's really, really cool. I didn't know it had that before.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it looks like the design of the regular DualShock controller, which, in my opinion, is one of the best controllers ever made. I know you like the Xbox better.
I do like the Xbox controller better, but I do like the new DualShock ones. The DualShock 2s, they actually feel really, really good.
Right.
I don't like where the analog stick is.
That's
on
my biggest complaint with them.
You're playing 99% of your games with the analog stick, and you gotta move your thumb way over to hold it.
I don't have this kind of problem.
4 or 5 hours into that, your thumb's starting to cramp up from stretching way over. I have little hands. I'm a little person.
So, maybe
like a carny.
Like
but so it just doesn't, I have to stretch in order to rotate that.
Maybe
that,
I just got used to the layout of that from the Dreamcast or something. Because I liked having it like the Xbox and the Dreamcast have it laid out. That just feels right to me. It feels like your thumb is in the right spot.
It's more ergonomic. It's
exactly.
Straight out.
Yeah, exactly. It's way better designed that way. It'd be nice to see somebody modify a PlayStation 2 controller.
Switch them.
I know, it's not that hard to do, but as we were discovering now, we're going to have wireless controllers for the PS3.
Yeah.
So.
Are they going wireless now?
All wireless.
Out of the box.
Yeah. And then what else? Yeah, Cobart here found all kinds of shit on it today.
Really?
Well, just a mock-up. They're not even sure if that's actually what it's going to look like, but that's a mock-up that Sony released.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not going to look like that, but at least the features they had, I bet, were dead on.
Yeah.
I bet the features were dead on.
It's got four sensors for your remote controls, as well as 2 regular DualShock connectors for...
Which is cool.
Backward compatibility.
Yeah, and I'm a big, huge fan of wired things. I don't like wireless too much.
I hate wireless.
I don't know one way or the other if you're going to be able to
play the PS3 games on an old PS2 controller. Yeah.
I seriously doubt they're going to use that controller for the third one. It's already been 2.
Yeah.
That's basically the same thing.
It'll be interesting to see, though. I can't wait. I'm getting all excited now, you know? I want to see this stuff. I want to see the new crap and have them drop some new stuff.
I kind of liked how the disc loader was like in a car where you just stick it in, it sucks
it
in.
On the prototype.
Right, right.
It was, yeah, it was a slot-style disc changer. I don't like those. I like having a tray. or something that I can open and put the disc in so I know it's not getting scratched. I have control over that disc, you know? Not waiting for some mechanical thing to grab it and, you know, rape my game.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, that's one more moving piece to break down.
That's true. Yeah. Which is another concern with the PSP. You know, it does spin these discs in there. There is a little motor that has to, you know, spin those discs around really fast. How long are those going to last? The thing hasn't been out that long. You know, since what, March 23rd here in the States? You know, I don't know. I'm curious. You're going to have to let me know if you see one return for a bad motor, like, immediately.
Yeah, that hasn't been a problem yet.
So, well, yeah. I mean, I imagine, I hope they last at least 2 weeks. I'm hoping it does, though.
My only beef right now is that the screen is, I mean, they advertise that you can carry it around like a portable MP3 player.
Uh-huh.
But the screen is very fragile.
Yeah.
That's saying that the entire thing is covered in, like, you saw, it's like a glossy type, it's like a
like
film.
An enamel or something. It's some kind of shiny, yeah.
Yeah, and it picks up fingerprints like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't want to, I like to, I mean, this is an expensive item. I don't want to damage the screen at all, so I don't really want to carry it around as, like, an MP3 player. I'll just stick with my iPod.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole damn thing seems very fragile to me, not just the screen.
You know what, though? It is really, like, they may have chintzed on shipping or something, but I'll tell you what, when you got your hands on it, it doesn't feel like a cheaply made item at all. This thing is nice.
No, it doesn't feel cheaply made. It's just, like, you know, it's just a fragile piece of electronics.
Yeah, exactly.
Its design looks pretty fragile to me. Whether they made it cheaply or not, I don't know. But
it's solid. It is. Yeah. Like that was another concern. When I finally got my hands on it, I was like, well, is this thing a cheapo piece of crap or what? It's a serious piece of hardware. You know, it's got some weight to it. It's really, really well designed. It looks like everything's just so. You know, like if you were to drop anything in there, you'd fuck the whole machine up. You know, it is perfect. It's a really, really nice machine, and I'm impressed.
Have you seen a movie played on it yet?
No, I haven't, but I was messing around playing music.
Like, the first million that shipped, they shipped with Spider-Man 2, the movie.
Yeah, the first million of them or something, I was told
right.
by you guys.
So I got mine with Spider-Man 2, and let me say, I mean, it looks gorgeous.
Nice.
It's crisp DVD, can't even see, like, any little grains or anything like that. It's just movie quality graphics.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I mean, even, like, I don't know if they're enhanced these all, but it looks almost 3D. When Spider-Man is jumping at the screen and whatnot, that's how clear it is. It's just made.
What, off the top of your head, do you know the resolution of that screen?
I don't know.
Okay, because I was trying to figure out, you know, how it would look when you take a movie that's encoded at, like, 720 by whatever and shrink it down to 480 or whatever that monitor is, you know, whatever that little screen is.
Actually, they have programs out there now that do all the heavy work for you.
Well, yeah.
Where they convert it to the MPEG 4 format, and then you can adjust, like, what resolution you want it at.
Now, these movies that you're... Okay, have you been able to put another movie on your PSP yet?
I don't think
any are. No, my memory card's not big enough to hold any type of anything decent.
Okay.
Like, you know, I mean, you have to have, like, a big memory card.
Yeah, you can get, like, a 512 or a gig memory stick.
Yeah, but those are, like, $120.
They're hell of expensive, though.
Yeah, it is. And you can only use the Memory Pro Duo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's a new... It's the Memory Card Duo.
Yeah, the Sony's new little memory stick.
Sony!
I mean, you can get third-party Optum brands, but it's still...
Right.
Regulated.
Like, SanDisk makes some, I'm sure. They have,
yeah,
like,
SanDisk as well.
Yeah, they make all kinds of cool little stuff like that. But I was looking at a thing today that was explaining how to put your movie on one of those little discs, little memory sticks, which is, it doesn't seem too complicated, but for the average user, it might be a little too much. It might be a little bit too far to go because, you know, you get into having to rip your DVD to your computer, encode it, you know, to, you know, MPEG 4 or whatever, and then you have to dump it on the memory card. Now, the thing I noticed about the memory card, though, the directory structure is weird. Like, you have to make some fucked up weird directory name for the movie, and then in there, you put the movie, but you can't call it, like, Spider-Man. You have to call it, like, MV00001.MP4 for the thing to recognize it.
Yeah, now, luckily, that's only with the video. The video is the only thing that you have to, like, really...
Exactly. The music was easy. You had a directory, was it PSP, then you make a directory called music, and
right.
then in there you just dump the MP3s in there.
Right, it's drag and drop. It opens up like a removable disk on your computer.
Yeah, that was, yeah, okay. And doesn't it have a USB connection too?
It doesn't come with one, but it does have it, and that's pretty much what I recommend.
It doesn't come with the cable, but it does come with...
How do you aftermarket put a port into it?
No, the port's on it, yeah. Okay. I saw the port on it, but it does... But, yeah, and the cables are... They're not...
Yeah, they're like $12 or something like that.
Yeah.
But And then, you know, just drag and drop. You just open it up on the Windows XP, and then it just drops on there. But yeah, the movie is a little weird, because you do have to name it a special thing, but there's, like I said, there's these programs out there that they do all the heavy work for you. All you do is just specify what movie you want to convert. It'll automatically rename it to the special format that you need, and all, and it'll format it in whatever resolution you want.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
But if you don't have a VAIO, how the hell do you stick this memory card into your computer?
You use the USB connection to your PSP.
Right, you leave it in the PSP, and then you just hook the USB from the PSP.
See, that helps.
SanDisk makes a card reader. I finally found one. Not all of them have it, but it actually reads Sony memory cards.
Oh,
that's expensive.
So, yeah, they're a little expensive, but they're not too bad. I mean, if you're going to use it a lot, it's probably worth it. But, I mean, you could also just use it.
Without having to buy
USB
a damn VAIO.
You know, yeah, exactly. So, but, I mean, I also heard that Sony was supposed to be working on software to do the movie conversion for you, for PSP owners.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, they haven't released it yet, but they've been working on it. And, frankly, I don't know. We'll see. They need to make something really, really easy for most people to copy a movie over. The music was no problem. And yet, I still were, you know, running into people that don't know how to do it.
Yeah, that's been my experience that stuff like that, third-party stuff, is always better than whatever Sony.
Yeah. Now, one of the things, like, this is a perfect time to mention this, because we're talking about how difficult it is to copy this crap over here, and I've noticed that just the fact that you actually have to, like, stop and think about what you're doing for a minute really earned a lot of respect for me for the PSP. It was just like, wow, you know, some average jackass is going to have to read the manual. You know, he's going to have to sit and he's going to have to figure this out, and he might learn something about, you know, audio encoding, you might learn something about video encoding, as opposed to like the DS where you can't do this kind of stuff.
Mm. Well, that's the thing. That's another thing I like about the PSP. The PSP is clearly made for the older market. I mean, if you have like little kids that are like, you know, 8 or 9 or something, like, just get them the DS because they're not going to appreciate the PSP anyway.
Exactly.
The DS is a kid's toy. This is like the next step up, you know.
I hate to say it, but it's the truth. It's simply put the truth. Now that's not to say that, you know, it's not okay for older people to have a DS because
I'm not saying that.
Making sure that it's clear that, you know, because the DS really is damn cool and there are some really cool games on it. But after seeing them both side by side, I really think Nintendo has to pass the crown over to Sony. I know, dude, it's killing me. But seriously, this thing really kicks some ass. You know,
you guys like the DS. I really don't like it. I mean, I don't like the little touchpad gimmick because that. Speaking of wearing out, that touchpad has what, a 6 month life on it if you use that touchpad all the time?
Really? I haven't seen
it. Yeah, because, I mean, we're getting them in now where the touchpad is not responding as well as when they want it because kids are, you know, touching it all the time.
Yeah, that's not.
And I predicted that because, I mean, it's electronic. You keep touching this thing. I mean, you keep making a game where the gimmick is you can only touch it, you can't use the side controls or anything like that. It's going to wear out very fast.
Yeah, very true.
That was one thing I mentioned when we were doing the DS screen, that they gotta stop making games that the sole thing is you're touching this damn screen. Yeah, that's cool. Make some games with some things that's an aspect of the game.
But they can't, because the whole thing that they're basing this DS on is a stupid touchpad.
Advertisements.
That's all good.
Exactly. The whole advertising thing is it's good to touch things.
Right.
You know? And they've got, I don't know if you guys have seen some of these ads. They're pretty great. I like the ads. But it's just like, you know, if the hardware can't hold up, that's a really bad sign. I'm not looking forward to seeing mass returns on DSs. I really do like the thing, though. I think it's pretty neat. You know, I wouldn't mind having one at all, but...
I don't know. I mean, there's nothing on it yet. I mean, all the games that they promised that were going to be good, like they promised Metroid, they promised a new Super Mario Bros. That was all supposed to come out in March. All that stuff's been pushed back to August, so they're still dragging their feet with that. Mm. And, you know, Nintendo's notorious for pushing stuff back.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's the Nintendo that we know and love, though.
Yep. I mean, you know, we'll get the good games in, 2007.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's going to be a while. And then by then we'll have a new release, a new version of it with something else, you know, something else, some other new feature.
Oh, I was going to ask you this. Supposedly, this isn't the successor to Game Boy. Is there another Game Boy that's supposed to be coming up on the horizon?
I haven't. No, that's exactly what I heard, too. I heard the exact same thing, that they do not want to compete with their own market. They want to keep them both separate, and that, you know, everybody should still go out and have a good time with their Game Boy Advance SP.
Even though it has a Game Boy Advance
SP slot, cart slot, yeah. They said that they.
Just saying that because they want people to go, oh, well, then I better go buy both.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I think too. But I don't know. It's a neat little machine, but unfortunately, and now this is the same problem I have with the PSP as of right now. Now, granted, this thing's 2 weeks old. Is that there's nothing I want to play on either one of them really. Sure, I'd love to play the Mario 64 on the DS.
And I would really like to get my hands on that Darkstalkers Chronicles game for the PSP. The fighting game.
Yeah.
I would love to get my hands on that. But you know what? It's not worth $250 plus 50 or 30, I think, for that game. It's just, you know, it's not worth it.
You're right. I mean, there's no killer app yet.
You know, right, exactly. It's not Metal Gear Acid for me. You know, for me, like, now granted, that might be a ass load of fun. Okay, it really might be.
Well,
I was gonna have to talk about
that. That's one game I do have.
Yeah, you know what? Let us finish up running off the list of just a few notes I have before we get to the games.
I have no idea what I think about that game. So
yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. But also, you know, this thing has already been hacked to play or to display. You can basically freely surf the web now. I guess it has some kind of. It's got 802.11b, and you can have up to 16 connections to your little PSP. So I guess. Somebody's working on tunneling software to where you could play over the internet with it if you were near a wireless router. Okay, but somebody's been able to hack the thing to have it display external web pages from the game. I guess you were going to be able to use it to fire up, like, whatever game, and it was going to have, like, a web link, and it would take you to, like, the website, you know?
Mm.
Well, apparently with Wipeout, there's some kind of a bug in it where you can, you know, basically go wherever the hell you want.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
I've seen it done. It's true.
You know, yeah. Now, well, I think they should just have it like that all the time anyway. How cool would that be?
Yeah, you have the technology's there, the Wi-Fi is there. Why not let people surf the net?
Yeah, yeah. Now, one of the things I like it. I dig it, in fact, but I don't like it as far as, like, a super mass market consumer product, okay? They've got firmware updates for this thing. Now, not everybody I know is comfortable with something like that. You know, updating the software that internally runs your PSP.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody I know wants to go do that, and they've got some pretty cool added features. Now, my understanding is the US version is currently at the current version, which is 1.5. Does that sound right?
Yeah, something like that.
Right. You can check it on your thing. Somehow, I've seen a screenshot where it tells you what version you have, so I know it shows you. But apparently, if you can get to Sony's website, I think it's actually their Japanese PlayStation site, like PlayStation.jp, I think. They've got firmware upgrades for this thing, so you can go ahead and download it and, you know, basically flash the thing and update the internal software. And I don't know if that's such a good idea because
I'll tell you why it's a good idea. What they did with the
it's a good idea. I think it's a great idea, but I think. Making it, well, the way they have it set up for the average consumer is not a okay thing. Because the average person isn't very good at this kind of thing and doesn't understand the process fully, you know?
So they might mess it up?
Exactly. And then, you know, wind up killing their PSP and, you know, being pissed at Sony about it. You know, that's my concern with this.
Well, you know, the people are going to have to learn how to use their stuff. That's all I got to say.
Well,
I like it because, before they had the PS2, I remember the first PS2 that came out is not quite the PS2 we have now because they upgraded the firmware.
Right, right.
So instead of having to buy another PSP in 2 years when they release, the better one, you can just download the firmware upgrade and upgrade it yourself.
Right, you can, and I can, but, you know, the people I see buy these things don't even know how to put, you know, the MP3s on the card.
I would be slightly...
Yeah, that's too bad. People are going to have to grow up and learn how to use stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, when first VCRs came out, people were like, the average consumer can't use VCR. They can't figure out a program for VCR.
Now, it seems laughable, but you know what? There's still people that can't set their fucking clock.
I would be a little worried as to what Sony's intentions are with this firmware thing. What their... Because it seems to me that they could very easily just every once in a while send out a new firmware that they slap together just so it's harder for the emulation community.
That too.
And they could screw things up because they just got to rush it out now so that keep them one step ahead of them.
You know what, though? It just occurred to me how they might be able to make this doable. If they put the current firmwares on games where it auto-detects the firmware and auto-patches it, if you have an older, that would be all right. Like, kind of like how Microsoft does, you know, like with your Xbox, if you put in a live game and you don't have a certain version of Xbox Live, it'll automatically update yours. That works. That's easy. You don't have to do anything. You just sit there and go, what's it doing, Jim? And then it's done, and next thing you know, you're playing your game and you never see it again.
Yeah, but didn't you just say that you gave the PSP props for forcing people to learn new things?
Yes.
About encoding
absolutely.
And stuff?
Yeah. I think they need to learn how to do that, but they can't ruin an MP3. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to break it trying to put an MP3 on it. They're going to break their PSP if they don't know what's happening and they yank the disc out mid-flash, or if they turn the power off, or if they don't follow the instructions and have it plugged in. You know, if they're running it off batteries that are near dead, they're going to they're going to break it. Now, I guess this concerns me because I'm going to have to deal with broken PSPs all day at work. I guess this is what my sudden concern for humanity's well-being is coming from, is the fact that I'm trying to avoid work here. But I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to look at it from, you know, every angle, too. You know, I mean, is that a good idea to be able to flash this thing like that? You know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's great. They added, I mean, and what I remember, I didn't even read the whole notes, and I'm a junkie for reading change logs. I don't know why. And I didn't read it for some reason. I read, like, one line that said something about them being able to, the new Flash had a bunch of fixes, I guess, for DVD playback or something. And one of the ones that I remember seeing was, like, if you stop a movie, like, turn it off or whatever, and turn it back on, it'll now resume where you left it rather than start all over again. Which is, you know, that's a cool little feature to add.
Yep.
But it's like, you know, if some guy who doesn't know fuck all about this thing wants to do this, there's a good chance of him blowing it somehow.
Well, the good thing is all the American PSPs that were released have the latest firmware on it.
Exactly. So we're okay with that.
I mean, it's not going to be a problem until, say, a couple months down the line. But see, the thing is, I think Sony will make it user-friendly.
I sure hope so, because having a patch on having a firmware flash on a website is less than user-friendly most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, you would have to not only know about this, but go out and actively seek this thing out, which most people don't know. And what if you're trying to play a game, you know, with your buddies, you know, because it's got the really cool, I think this is dope, the 802.11b wireless play. You know, you can play with 15 other people. You know, and what if you're not all in the same firmware version and you can't play a certain game? You know, that's kind of stupid. I really hope they you know, really do this right. That's just a concern I've had with this thing. Now, you know, when I opened this thing up, it comes with a lot of crap. I was pretty impressed with the packaging of this thing. It's got, of course, the PSP. It's got a wired remote, like a little, like you would have the PSP in your pocket, and it's got a really long cord on it, with like a remote control on it you would hold in your hand, like good to do while you're jogging or whatever, I guess. You use that thing yet, Ribo?
The wired remote?
Yeah.
I haven't used it yet, but yeah, it's kind of cheesy. It's not the greatest, but yeah, it's cool, I guess.
It's cool if you don't have an MP3 player and you've got an iPod, so.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the functionality really is mainly for something like that, so. It comes with headphones, which is nice, because if I remember correctly, the Game Boy Advance didn't come with headphones.
Oh, and it's a standard headphone jack, so you can use any headphones on it.
Right.
Nintendo brand, Game Boy only headphones.
They need to make their little plug shaped like an N, just to remind us. You know, it's got the power cord, of course. It comes with a little hand strap, which is a nice little accessory. It comes with a soft case, which,
cool.
I don't know, is it kind of a joke? Is it a little cheesy little case?
It's not as cheesy as you think it would be. It's not the greatest case, but it's not a bad case.
Yeah.
It's not just a velvet bag?
No, it's actually shaped, and it's got the little PSP logo in it and everything. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seemed pretty neat. I mean, like, they really, like, packed some cool accessories.
It should be a hard case,
you know? It should be a hard case, exactly, yeah. And then it comes with a 32-meg memory card, whatever it's called, memory stick from Sony. Because not everybody owns Sony Vios and Sony cameras and Sony camcorders and Sony stereos and Sony TVs.
Sony microwaves.
You know, exactly, you know. And a cleaning cloth. So
the cleaning cloth is awesome.
The cleaning cloth is awesome. You know what? Hey, and check this out. I actually have a recommendation. Go into your local Best Buy and go back to where the TVs are, right? You're looking for a product called Monster Clean. It's by the guys that do the Monster cables, you know? And it's a blue bottle. It's like $20 or something, and it'll last you a freaking lifetime. And this is the most awesomest screen cleaner I've ever seen in my fucking life for anything. For any kind of monitor that you have. Whether it's LCD, you know, you've got a regular CRT, a nice plasma TV, this stuff is the bomb. And it's a fairly large bottle you get of it, and it comes with a really, really nice cleaning cloth, too.
Is it in regular TVs, or is it in the Magnolia section?
It's in the regular TV department, because not every store has a Magnolia thing.
Right, that's what I was asking.
Yeah. So every Best Buy should have it. I don't know why, but this cleaner is awesome. It's some kind of weird blue goo, but it's the shit. And I bet it would be great for use on a PSP.
It's actually kind of thick, like goo.
No, it sprays out. It just looks thick in the bottle. It's magic juice is what we're going to call it.
All right.
The stuff is pretty awesome. And then I guess some guys had IRC running on the hacked PSPs also. And that was one last thing about before the PSP, before we get to games. The European PSP release looks like it was delayed. Again, I don't remember what it was before, but now they're saying September, and they're saying that it's because of supply shortages.
Poor Europe, man. They are the bastard child as far as video games are concerned.
They are. They get screwed left and right, don't they?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, We complain about being behind Japan all the time, but poor
that's
Europe,
true.
Man.
Yeah, really, huh?
They're like twice as far behind us as we are behind Japan.
That's
true.
And then every now and again, something creeps around the world the other direction. Like, didn't Zelda come out over there first? Remember?
It did.
The Minish Cap?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? You know, it's like, what the hell? This is just the Japanese toying with the Americans, I'm convinced. The things you learn. See, video game does promote racism, I swear to God. I'm telling you. See, you know what? I'm going to go join Hillary's band of goons right now. All right? She knows what she's talking about. So, let's talk about the PSP games. But did anybody watch South Park last week?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was that not the greatest?
The golden PSP.
The golden PSP. Wait, Kobar's got it down. Wait, do the scene.
Huh?
Do the scene where with Gabriel.
Oh, he's doing that thing.
Did you see that? He's writing out the battle plan on a board with a permanent marker.
He's sniffing it.
I was dying. That was so funny. Now, you gotta watch this if you're a fan of video games, and I already planned on getting clips of this for the intro of the show, because they were too good. What it was Kenny buys a PSP, which, you know, Kobar and I both had problems with this. How did Kenny, of all of them, wind up affording a PSP?
Then he goes home and eats a third of a can of beans because he has to share it with the rest of his family.
It was so great, though, because he doesn't sleep for, like, a week. Carmen goes absolutely ape shit because he doesn't have one. And Kenny's playing, and it's great, because he's playing this game, and he keeps getting up there in levels, and he's, like, the ultimate warrior. And he gets killed, and he's up in heaven, and it was a grand plan to get him to fight off Hell's minions or some shit. It was so funny.
To sum it up, it's basically, it's a PSP. It's the plot of the movie The Last Starfighter. And the whole Terry Schiavo case all wrapped into the South Park episode. It's pretty hilarious. It's hilarious.
It's good stuff. It's fun as hell.
You need to make sure that's part of it.
You know, yeah, it was awesome. All right, now I have far from a complete list of games here, of course, but I had some that were on the immediate release list, you know, for the launch of this thing. And the one, of course, that really excited me was Darkstalkers Chronicle: The Chaos Tower. Now, I imagine that Ribo here has probably seen a good portion of these games.
No, not really. I've seen Need for Speed, I've seen Ridge Racer and Metal Gear Acid. I haven't seen Darkstalkers yet.
Oh, okay.
I've seen the box work for it. Looks like Street Fighter.
Yeah, which is what I base 95% of my purchasing decision on, is the box art. I think I've been through this before. I'm sure we've talked about this before, where it's about the box art half the time for me. If it's got anime box art, it's got to be a pretty bad game for me not to buy it. So, but that Darkstalkers game, this is, if anybody has ever played any kind of fighting games, they've probably heard of the Darkstalkers series. There's like five of them or some crap now. This one sounds like basically a remake of Vampire Chronicle, which was on the Dreamcast, which is all five of the Darkstalkers games packed together with a few little extras packed in there. They've got all the characters, and they used the, like from Street Fighter Anniversary Edition, if anybody's played that, where you're able to, where you have every single game of the series in this one game, and you can pick whichever version of the character that you want. And I mean, like, if, you know, like, you can pick an original, you know, Blanka to fight the souped-up Dalsum from Street Fighter II Turbo, and you can fight. And you can pick any stage you want, and any music you want from anyone that's ever been in any one of those games, which I think is really awesome, okay? Because, you know, fans of a game, you know, they like to remember things from the old games, you know? And being able to play as, you know, your favorite version of a character in a fighting game is particularly awesome, I think. You know, like the old school Sub-Zero whooped the crap out of the new school Sub-Zero, you know, at least in my opinion. You know, so I would like to play that, but I don't like Mortal Kombat enough to go out and get like a compilation game of it. But this one also has Darkstalkers Chronicle, the Chaos Tower has some kind of a, they had to use the Chaos Tower thing here somewhere, right, for some kind of gameplay mode. They added a gameplay mode where you basically go, like, I guess, room to room, and you get to pick a group of people to fight with. You know, like, so you pick three or four characters, Morrigan, and go through the levels and kill people. So, I don't know, it seems like it'd be a pretty cool little fighting game, because I haven't seen a fighting game done very well on a handheld console yet. Mm. Has anybody?
Not yet, no.
Yeah, the best, I'd say, what do you think? You probably have that Street Fighter one that was on the Game Boy Advance, and it's pretty crappy.
Yeah, that was a port of the Super Nintendo one. It wasn't that good.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. There's not enough buttons on that damn thing to make the game worth playing anyway. But thankfully, the PSP does have an assload of buttons. And I don't know, man. If they get something really nice on there.
I got one title for you. Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
That would be pretty cool. Is that coming out for this?
No, I haven't heard anything about it, but I mean, it's got it. It would sell like hotcakes.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it would. That would be pretty nice. I would like to see some other ones, but I know they're never going to happen, you know, because I know our friends at Microsoft is tied up Rare now. They have them locked in the basement and making games solely for the Xbox. So I keep my pipe dream of a new Killer Instinct game around. I've got to play a new one before I go out of my freaking mind. I don't care what system it's on anymore. I'll buy it. I don't care, because Killer Instinct is awesome. Let's see. Yeah, you want to talk about Metal Gear Acid, because I'm tired of talking.
There's not really much to say. Basically, a lot of people think it's a card game right now.
It is. It's a strategic card game.
Yeah, and I'm not a card game guy. I've never played a card game. I know the Yu-Gi-Oh fans are really into card games. It's okay. It's not a great game. I mean, as far as the card, I mean, it's very extensive, the cards they have. They have something like 280 cards in it. And it spans pretty much the entire Metal Gear series, from even the Nintendo era to the Game Boy era to the latest ones, Metal Gear Solid 3. So you can get cards of characters from all these different games. You can also get cards of characters from other Konami games, too, like Snatcher.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's kind of cool that they have that, and even have some hidden cards of, remember in Metal Gear Solid 2, they had the Japanese models, like the female models on the inside of the lockers and whatnot?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You can even get cards of those girls, too. That's I don't know what they do, cool. But they're there.
Now, using these cards, though, like, I was reading somewhere that you could actually, like, you had, the other characters. Now, I didn't quite understand. So you're sent out on a mission. Do you actually move around, or does it just take you through the mission, and you watch until you come to a scenario where you need to use the cards?
No. It's like an actual strategy game. It's like turn-based. You move, you have like 20 points to move in a turn.
Okay.
And moving is like 6 points. Using this card to fire your weapons, like 5 points. It's like any other turn-based strategy game. And you move around, and your cards are random. And depending on where you are, you can use a card. So for example, if you're in front of a guard, you have like a gun card. You can use the gun and hope that, you have enough accuracy to knock them down, and so forth. Then they also have character cards, which are like characters from the different series, like some of the ultra-rare cards are like characters of like Liquid Snake and Solid Snake and whatnot. And depending on what card you use, it does like something that's really special, like the Raiden card. You know, remember Raiden from Metal Gear Solid 2?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, like his card lets you do like a spin attack or whatnot that like takes out like 5 guys.
Okay, let's cut to the chase. Screw that fag. What about Sniper Wolf? That's awesome.
her card gives you like extra long accuracy or whatnot. I forget what it does.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, that would make sense though.
Yeah, the cards make sense.
That's cool.
Based on the characters in the game. But, I mean, as far as card games are concerned, it seems, I've been reading a lot of things about it because there's like different opinions. People are saying that even people who like card games, this is like the deepest card game there is on any system. I mean, I have to play it some more to really get into it. The story is a little whacked up.
Well, that's no surprise.
Yeah, I mean, it's really whacked up. I can't even begin to describe what's going on because I don't know what's going on. It's a totally wacky story. But I mean, it's fun. It's pretty fun.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So you like move on a grid?
Yeah, you move on a grid. But the grid's hidden. It doesn't show you the grid.
Right.
You move in, up, down, left, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's grid-based.
Huh.
Okay. That actually sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, I bet it would be kind of fun.
But there's strategy involved, because you can also put together your card deck after each mission, but it's broken up in stages.
That's what I was just going to ask. Can you build your own deck?
You can build your own deck.
Okay.
And you can build your own deck. You can buy, like, you... Depending on how you get through a mission, like if you don't kill anybody, you get bonus points for no kill bonus. If you don't get detected, you get like stealth bonus and get extra points.
So how do you get the different cards?
Well, here's the thing. Like you can either find the cards in the stage, because sometimes they have like rare cards hidden among the stage. Or what happens at the end of your turn, at the end of your stage, there's like a card shop that you can go to. And pick out your cards from the different sets that you want. Like, if you want to buy cards from the Metal Gear Solid theme pack, like the first one, you can buy it from there. You can buy it from, like, the Metal Gear Solid 3 theme pack, and so forth and so on.
That's dope.
Also, and then what you can do is, you can replay other stages to get extra points. So, for example, if you went through the first time not killing anybody, but you want to get like, you want to kill anybody the second time, you can get points for doing that too.
Okay.
And then it's also ranked like, you know, like, depending on how many cards you use or how many moves you make, you can get like, anywhere from like an F rank, which is like the worst you can do, to the S rank, which is like above A. Like a special rank. And
right.
you get more points for
right.
that one.
At any given round, do you have your entire deck available to you, or do you have like a hand?
No, you get a hand. You make a deck for each stage, and then you randomly get 6 cards for each turn.
And then as you use them, you draw more?
I believe so. I haven't gotten into that yet. I think that you throw them away. I'm not sure if you can recycle them or not.
Oh, okay. So you can only use your whole deck per stage?
I think so, but you might be able to recycle it. I'm not into cards, so I don't know what...
Right, I was just going to say... I was just going to say, unlike... You know, you saying that you're not too into the card games, I do. I like those card games. I've played quite a few of them and was really into them. And I think they're incredibly fun, which is why something like this is grand, I think, for somebody like me who would like the theme, you know, with the card atmosphere added to it. You know, I think that sounds pretty awesome, and it sounds like it's a lot of fun, because there's...
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the deepest PSP game out there right now, because, I mean, there's a lot of strategy involved. You have to know how to make your deck. You have to know... where to move, and it gets like, the difficulty shoots up. It starts out very easy, and then it gets like insanely difficult, where you can get killed in like a few moves.
Nice.
But this was obviously the crowning jewel of the PSP's open lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, what the kind of sad thing is, like, the graphics are so good. I mean, they're literally PS2 Metal Gear Solid graphics.
Jesus.
So you just wish that, you kind of wish that there was a mode where you can just like go crazy and just like make a regular game out of it.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you also said that Ridge Racer was just the shit.
Oh, my God. I think Ridge Racer is amazing. That's the best racing game that's on the PS3 right now.
Okay, yeah, because there was Ridge Racer and...
I love Wipeout.
I've never been a big Wipeout fan.
The last Wipeout, the Wipeout for the PS2, I wasn't a big fan of. I can't really pinpoint what I didn't like about it, but the PS1 Wipeouts were sick.
I didn't really like them.
I've never played Wipeout.
I sucked at them. That's what I think my problem was.
I am really good at those kind of, the where I'm not tied to the street.
Yeah,
where there's no slip sliding around.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, glide and stuff. I'm actually really good at those. And I loved Wipeout.
Yeah, you whooped my ass at F-Zero like crazy. Ridge Racer, yeah, apparently this game runs at a constant 60 frames per second on that little screen, too.
It's very smooth.
That's nice.
It's very smooth, yeah.
That's nice. And how are the music and whatnot?
The music's cool. Standard, racing-type music, kind of techno-type.
Right, okay.
Rock-type thing, like game music. But, I mean, it's very smooth. It's very, it's like a, like racing games have to have that fast feel.
Yeah.
It has that fast feel.
Well, that's good.
The graphics are amazing. It's just awesome.
It's got, I've got a little bit of the stats on the game here, too. You can play 8 players wireless with that, too. There's new tracks, there's classic tracks too for fans in the series. You can go back to tracks that you know. There is a world tour mode, there's 6 different difficulty levels, so you can go through all the tracks and do all that. Supposed to be a ton of unlockables and something about turbo boosts. And for some reason I didn't think this game had turbos.
I think it has turbo.
So, well, I don't know. What I was reading, it said you could, like, store your turbo boosts or whatever and then use them to blast through the level, whatever. But it sounds like a hell of a racing game because, I don't know, I'm not too big of a fan of racing games. I generally hate them, you know. But, like, something like Burnout 3 comes along and it's just like, wow, there's hope, you know. And I haven't played Gran Turismo. It's a little bit too serious for somebody like me. But, I don't know, I could see having a lot of fun on a little handheld because, you know, I mean, I don't know, I try to work in handheld gaming into my life, and basically the extent of it is, it doesn't happen, you know? Like, just before I'm about to pass out, I can get in, like, 15 minutes of Zelda, you know, the Minish Cap. That's why it's taken me so long to beat this game. I can't do it. I sit down, I get 10 minutes into it, and I pass out cold. You know, I can't do it, because I always play just before I'm going to sleep or something. I can't just sit here in the middle of the day for some reason, and just, maybe it's just I haven't found anything, like, that interesting yet, you know?
I agree with you. It's a handheld. They're all handheld. So, I mean... I usually play it before going to sleep, too. And it's just, you know, it is what it is.
Well,
probably better if you're, like, on a road trip or something like that.
Yeah, but unfortunately...
No, that's the only thing you can play.
unfortunately, most people I know are just, you know, I mean, they have to go to work every day. They don't have any money. They can never go on vacation. And if they do go somewhere, it's probably to do something, to take care of business. And they're driving anyway, and it sucks. But I tell you what, I have discovered the ultimate thing. Lunch at work. You can sit in your car and eat a sandwich and play your Game Boy or your PSP or your DS or whatever and have a damn good time. And a half an hour is actually quite a bit of time when you're playing games at work. Because there's something different about it. Your brain is like, I should be working right now, but I'm not. And it's pretty decent. I've actually found that reduces stress a whole lot for me if I sit in the car during lunch break and play some Zelda or something. You know, it's pretty cool. Play whatever the hell I'm playing at the time anyway. But you know what? There's a Tony Hawk game for this too. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 Underground 27 Remix 4897 Ultra Mega Jam Pack.
Hut Hut Hike?
Ultra. Yeah. And I guess it's got, you know, more of the same. So I don't know what to say about that. I'm not quite sure how well that would actually play on a handheld, but I imagine it would actually play pretty well with that analog nub.
But you play one Tony Hawk, you play them all, right?
Unfortunately, that is the case, but with this one, you do have, like, the new Underground. You know, like, since they made this Tony Hawk's Underground thing, they've changed the way the game plays, where you don't have a timer. You just float around the level until you talk to somebody, and then they tell you to go do something, and then you go, then
you start. I wonder where they got that idea from.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe it's the next target for Jack Thompson and Hillary and Libra.
You can skate!
You can, yeah, these damn skateboarders. There's a game where you can skate in front of a mall. You can spray paint. But anyway, this one, on top of having this new mode of play, they have the classic modes put in the game also, where you can play like classic Tony Hawk, where it was you had 2 minutes to go collect the combo letters, or you had 2 minutes to set a certain score, you know, which I think is cool. I like being under that pressure, and if you failed, you were out, you know, because, I mean, it trained you to be good, not to just, oh, I can keep failing and I don't have to worry about loading a level and I can just do it over again real quick, you know, and just pause in the middle of the level and pick redo and all of a sudden it warps me back to the event. You know, that's stupid. Well, it's weak. But, I mean, granted, for a handheld system, you're looking at a system now where you don't have probably an hour, 2, 4, 5 hours at a time to just sit there and play. You have short little time increments, you know. So you want, you know, maybe it's a good idea to have these little 2 or 3 or 5 minute events, you know. So, I mean, you got to keep in mind that when you're, you know, making a game on a handheld, that it's a completely different environment.
Right.
So you need to really develop your game based on, you know, little sections of ass kick, and then, you know, they can save anywhere and stuff like that. And believe it or not, this thing still has the customizing your skate park. You can build, you know, your own skate park.
Really?
You can still customize your dude. You can take a picture of your face and stick it on the character, too. You can just copy the JPEG over to the memory card, and when you're making your skater, you can stick your face on it. Pretty crazy, huh?
I don't see how that would look good, though.
I'm sure it looks like complete ass, but you can do it, you know. And you can play four people wireless on I guess it's got little mini games. You know, rather than, like, just skate through the big-ass park, there's, like, little mini-games. So, I don't know, that's kind of cool, because I really, really enjoyed the original Tony Hawk games, you know, but granted, they are more of the same now.
There is a game that you might like on this thing called...
Untold Legends.
Yeah.
That game does look pretty slick.
You know what? It doesn't sound as good as I wanted it to be, though, when I started reading up on it.
Really?
Yeah, it just sounded like it was...
Because, I mean, you like Champions of Norrath, and it seems like it's... That's what it's supposed to be.
Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance, Champions of Norrath, fantastic games. This sounds more like a neutered version of them.
Yeah.
It really sounds
How
like...
How do you neuter them?
Like, it, like...
There's not all that much to them.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like they developed it for the Game Boy Advance. Like, they just didn't expect to be able to make a good game, so they didn't make a good game. That's what it sounds like. Seriously, you got four character classes to pick from, and it's called Untold Legends Brotherhood of the Blade. There's supposed to be around 100 levels, and mind you, while I was watching South Park, this is what I assumed that Kenny was playing, okay? it's like an action slaughter game. You know, you just, like, run around and just chop shit up, and you get all kinds of, you know, loot, and you sell it back and whatever, but you've got only four character types. You don't have much, you know, no diversity there. You've got a knight, who plays a lot like the Berserker class. You've got a druid who plays a lot like the Alchemist, and those are supposed to be the spellcasters. And that's it. That's all you've got. It just doesn't seem like, you know, I don't know, like, I don't know. You can't even pick, like, you know, the sex of your guy. There's two of these are chicks, two of these are guys. You know, and that's all you get. And you can play four players with your friends. I don't know if you can have two of the same character in the map, though. I imagine you can, but maybe not. The quests seemed pretty lame. They were just run around and kill all these things, which I kind of come to expect from these kind of games. But still, it would have been nice to have some puzzles or something. Apparently, that doesn't exist in this game. So, you know, that sucks. And the levels are randomly generated. So that's kind of cool.
See, I don't like that. Until someone can prove to me that they can do it well, I don't like it. You end up with generic-looking levels that are just a randomly slapped-together tiles.
That's exactly what this is described as.
There's no style to them.
Everything I was reading was basically like, look, sure it randomly generates it, but they're just like, you know, you'll recognize the same room 500 times because it's a corner, you know, and you'll see that corner room for every time that there's a bend. You know, it just sounds like, man, you know, they could have done a little bit more here.
Well, and that's what any random generated dungeon ends up being like.
I got some ideas on how to fix that, but I'm not sharing. I got some ideas to help it along, but I'm not going to share.
So you end up with these generic dungeons that are just the same every time you go through them, so you turn this way instead of that way, or now there's a straight tunnel there.
But it's fun to me because I'm in there to just mow shit down. You know, I'm in there to just hack and slash my way through as much stuff as possible. So the layout of the dungeon isn't a major concern of mine, really. It's nice when it has some nice style to it and all that stuff.
The atmosphere is always one of the most important parts to me.
It is, but, I mean, they're going to have tiles match the tiles. I mean, it looks like the same dungeon. Unfortunately, you're going to see the same room in there multiple times, you know. But, that aside, what really let me down was they didn't stress, like, what Champions of Norrath stressed. Items. Gear, rare stuff. You know, like, that was really cool to me, where it's like, I could play that game 5 times and find different gear every single time I went through. This, it just sounds like they made Gauntlet more linear. You know? Like, it just really just, it was just, wow, this sucks. You know, it didn't sound too impressive to me. And unfortunately, it's the kind of game I would still buy, because there's a need for that type of game in my library. You know? I need to have a good, just hack and slash, good old time in there somewhere. You know, unfortunately, this sounds like they just chopped something together to get it out. So, I'm a little let down by the way this game sounds like it's going to turn out. But yes, you had me pegged dead on. It did sound like something I'd want to play. You know, hey, has anybody heard anything about a Castlevania for this yet?
Not for this, for the DS.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no Castlevania yet.
Damn.
But I have heard of Cobar should be happy. There's a Tale of Eternia is coming on this thing.
Yeah.
Ooh. I want to see a Castlevania.
So well, you guys? Get like Tales of the whole Tales series.
is that a remake?
Is that over?
Yeah, it's just a Tales of Eternia from the PlayStation.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool because these things do seem to get a lot of remake type of stuff, you know.
Which well, that's fine. Cool. I mean, you know, it's a full-fledged RPG.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, and I heard there's supposed to be EZ6 on there, the Ark of Nephtism or whatever that's called.
Yeah, that's supposed to come out there too.
Yeah, that's cool. But I guess it's going to be the exact same as the PS2 version?
I haven't heard that's that. Okay. I mean, I know they're getting that game. I don't know if it's going to be a port or...
Okay,
what.
I hope it's exactly the same. Because I own the PS2 version, okay? And it's like, I just bought this game. And this is, you know, a cool game. And if they go ahead and release another version, just a little bit down the road, with different shit that I'm going to want to see, I'm going to be pissed.
You
know?
Have to consider buying a PSP.
For one stupid game, and I'll do it. I'll figure something out.
Oh, I've been known to do it. I bought my Xbox for one stupid game. You know? It lasted me 10 hours.
Exactly.
I was pissed.
I bet.
That game cost me like $250.
For 10 hours.
For 10 hours.
It was fun, though.
It was a fun 10 hours.
But it wasn't $200 for the fun, though. You know what, though? There's even a Twisted Metal game coming out for this thing. Twisted Metal Head On.
Yeah, that's already out.
I am so tired of Twisted Metal games.
Oh, it's already out?
Yeah, it's already out.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it was one of the opening titles.
I didn't know that. This is, it's four, I imagine it's four player. Can you go, I didn't write that down, how many multiplayer it was. That would have been nice to know, but I didn't seem to write it down. Of course, just like every other Twisted Metal, where you pick your car, you get, you know, unlockable vehicles, and you run around and you shoot each other and run into each other and all that crap. I don't find that too much fun.
It was great the first couple times.
Right.
I mean, they were real good games. There was a reason they sold real well, and they should have sold real well. It's getting old.
I think so, too. I think they...
It's eight player, eight multiplayer.
Eight player? Okay, cool. Well, that's kind of neat. I mean, it'd be pretty awesome to see eight people sitting, you know, within range of each other, all running each other over. That would be kind of cool, you know, like on a field trip at school or something. Yeah. That'd be a lot of fun, but again, I don't see that situation happening in my life anytime soon, so I kind of, you know, steer to more the single player end of things like that, but I don't know. There is a market for the Twisted Metal type of games, so, you know, something like this is perfect, and I'm, you know, it may not be for most of us, but I think a lot of people do like the Twisted Metal series. You know, a whole lot. Too much, some of them. And, you know, this is perfect for them. It's got three different story modes. It's got, I mean, it's got places all over. I mean, Los Angeles, Paris, Egypt. I mean, so you go all over. You get to run into people and crash into them, and it's got all kinds of crazy explosions and shoot them. And, yeah, I mean, it looks pretty cool. Lots of secrets in every level, so if you're into the exploration, you know, of the zone that you're in, that's pretty cool, too. You got to have these little secrets and whatnot. It sounds like a pretty solid game, you know, for those that like that kind of game. I'm not a big fan myself, though. I mean, and you know what? There's another one, too. That ATV Off-Road Fury, it's called ATV Off-Road Fury Blazin' Trails. Apparently, yeah. Apparently, it's like it's almost a direct port from the PS2 ATV Off-Road Fury game. Four-player, multiplayer, 24 ATVs, a couple different riders you can pick, and about 30 courses.
Those ATV games are like the worst games, and people seem to love them.
It's,
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
No. I don't get it. I mean, those are terrible games, and there's like five of them. We have a new one, MX versus ATV.
Oh, right, yeah. We played that before. We tried to make it sound somewhat decent and not all biased, but it's like, I didn't really enjoy it while we were playing. Like, it wouldn't seem too bad, but it doesn't seem like I could sit and play for more than like an hour, ever.
And that title is just so cheesy. Blazin' Trails.
Blazin' Trails. You know what? There was a game that had an interesting title. It was called Rengoku, the Tower of Purgatory. Is this one out?
That's not out yet. That looks a lot like Devil May Cry.
Ooh.
I don't know if it's going to be like that type of game, but it looks, that's from the box art I've seen, that's what it looks like.
Okay, well, I can tell you a little bit about it.
That's the kind of hack and slash I get into.
Yeah, that is some pretty good stuff. I still stay to the fantasy medieval type stuff. I dig it. But this apparently is a third-person action-adventure. It sounded, you know what it reminded me of? Has anybody ever played Ranger X on the Genesis?
No.
Oh, man. For some reason, it reminded me of this game. Wolf used to play it all the time. You've got upgradable weapon slots, but they're like machine guns and crap. So, yeah. You do lots of killing, and you basically go up this tower, of course, and it just seems like room to room to room. And you just mow through endless gobs of stuff, which is, it's just good, you know, killing stuff
time.
Is fun, okay? And it also has a four-player, multiplayer, player versus player thing, where you can blow your buddies up, which is pretty cool. And you guys can trade weapons and stuff between each other. So, you know, you get the Pokemon effect in there, and, you know, you've got people trying to get four different machine guns of the same type or whatever.
Gotta get them all.
Gotta catch them all, that's right. And it sounds pretty fun, though. I like the idea of the upgrading your guy thing. You know, I like the, it's like gear, you know, in a role-playing game. You know, I like that. And you don't have it too many of these shooter games. You know, you look at, like, Contra, and there's, like, five different guns to go through. Well, that's fine. Five guns are cool, because you can switch through them to the scenario. But look at something like R-Type, where they upgrade. You know, and it just seems, for some reason, cooler.
I have always been a fan, in any game where your guy progresses and you gain new things, it helps with the feeling of accomplishment is what it does.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. I like that kind of stuff a lot. It feels like you get something back,
yeah.
You know, for the time and effort you put into it, which, you know, I've used that to explain my you know, recent addiction of the last 2 years to these MMORPGs. I feel like when I'm playing, I'm not wasting my time anymore. You know how you get your parents on your case, you know, when you were growing up and your mom or your dad or whatever was always like, dude, you're wasting your time. Do your homework. Go to school. Go outside and get some exercise. You're wasting your life. You know, and it's like, you know what? I'm having a goddamn good time here. But, you know, it's like now, for some reason, it's like kind of stuck in my mind. I know I'm not doing anything productive, but I'm having a freaking blast here. But playing MMORPG almost feels a little bit like work sometimes, you know? But you're actually seeing a little bit of return. You know, you're seeing that your stats go up, you're seeing the better gear, you know, the more time I put in, and it's just like, ha-ha-ha, I've solved it. Unfortunately, they take up a lot of time.
Well, that's exactly where the addiction comes from for anybody that plays these games. It's because you move along.
Yeah, well,
now you can
know.
Get this and you can get
that. I know
that.
A lot of people that play strictly for the social end of it, though, too. You know, like they could give two shits about their gear. They could care less about anything. I know people that play just to communicate with other people you know, and have...
Well, yeah, but that's what chat rooms are for.
You know, yeah,
free.
I know that's what chat rooms are for, but you can't, like... I don't know. It's like, no, I understand. It works for me just fine, but a lot of people like the whole watching people walk around kind of crap and whatnot. They're generally crafters only. You know, I see a lot of people that are crafters only with no adventure class, and they just kind of, like, craft all day and talk to people, like, all day long and get way involved in, like, game drama. You know? As funny as it sounds, and I can imagine how this sounds to an outside person, you know, somebody who doesn't play these kind of games, doesn't realize how really sucked in and how developed this world, you know, these worlds can get. Mm-hmm. It is a whole nother world. Dude, did you watch the new episode of Pure Ownage?
Yes,
it is. Oh my god.
That's funny.
If you haven't seen this, I don't care if you're in your car or you're at work, go to their site. It's purepwnage.com. And I know that all of our listeners watch these guys. They must, because they're too funny. These guys produce gold. Okay? And the latest one, I know a lot of people haven't seen it because they didn't know it was out. The latest one, Jeremy starts playing freaking World of Warcraft, alright? But it is so, so funny. And so well done. Those guys deserve, like, some... What is that little award you get for being in movies? Emmys or something, or Academy Awards, or Oscars or something?
Oh, something like that.
Listen to us.
It's one of those. It's the Academy Awards, but I think it's Oscar. I think it's...
Oh, okay, yeah. Like the actual award itself?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's, I think.
They deserve that. Well, at least Jeremy does, and FPS Doug, I mean, come on. Come on. That was a world-class performance there. It's awesome. It's funny as hell. You gotta go watch it just to see how you can get... And, you know, it's funny because people are like, oh, my God, this is way too blown out of proportion. But you know what? I guarantee that kind of shit happens to people. I guarantee it happens to people. I'm serious.
It's funny because it's true.
You know, exactly. There's a lot to it there. So, anyway, and then I actually had one last game written down, and I know there is quite a few more. But Dynasty Warriors, because this is one that Wolf really likes to play. And this is the one based in the Chinese setting where you just, you know, you're this burly dude who just mows down thousands upon thousands of enemies with your big ass. What does it remind me of? That Sword of the Berserk on the Dreamcast? That reminds
me of... Sword of the Berserk?
Sword of the Berserk. Wasn't it something called something like that, or Guts Rage or something?
I have no idea.
I'm getting a blank stare here. I don't know. Okay, it's, for some reason I keep thinking of that game when I hear Dynasty Warriors. The Wolf played the crap out of this game, but... Everybody knows what this is. You just run around and mow people down.
That's another one. There's quickly becoming too many of them.
Yeah, there is. But it was interesting to see what they did to... they set this one up like an arena style more than just like the open battlefield, because you don't have, you know, the power. Sure, it might be nice, and you might be really close to a PS2 or whatever, you know, but it's not a PS2. It's not an Xbox, right? So you're missing a little bit of juice there, right? Well... The thing with this game was all about the huge, wide-open environments with floods of enemies coming at you. And they couldn't do that here, so they've managed to do it really well, though, by breaking it up into small, like, little arenas that would basically give you the impression that you're still going. Like, you're zoning, but you're not quite, you know, really zoning. So it sounds like they did a pretty decent job, though.
Yeah, I've seen this one in action. They have that Fog of War, you know, when you're going forward and... It's like gray, and then all of a sudden, like, five guys will come into view, and keep going, and then two more guys will come into view, that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, well, that win, what did they have to do to make it work? That's fine. But this kind of a game is, like, a perfect thing for, you know, a handheld game. You know, because you can, it's not, you know, a long, drawn-out thing where you're waiting 7 years between save points, you know. You can just take it on the go, and if you hit the quick, you can do something like that. There's a bunch of officers you can recruit into your little army. You can even trade the people with your friends' officers if you want guys with certain skills or whatever. So you can build yourself a pretty neat little army. And there's 42 different main characters, I guess, to choose from. It's pretty interesting. You know, I mean, they pack
their, cool.
You know, yeah. I mean, it sounds like it could be a blast.
I am floored at the amount of information they're putting in those little tiny cartridges.
It's crazy. What do they got on those things anyway? Giga
and
a half?
Those are the UMDs, huh?
It's 1.8.
It's how much?
1.8 gigs.
1.8 gigs, right.
And they're like this
The
big?
Little tiny DVD disc things are really some kind of disc, yeah. But
or like the DS ones. They're like... They're like
the little DS cartridge.
They're like an inch by an inch.
Yeah, they're really, really small.
They did a comparison of the DS and the PSP. Apparently, the PSP can hold, or that UMD can hold, like four times the amount of that DS cartridge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which, you know, it kind of makes sense.
You know, yeah, absolutely. But that's a
lot. The DS thing is... tiny.
The DS thing is really small. The little card, yeah, it really is. I can see those things getting lost all over the place.